Welcome to Cruising Through Cinema. Here are your hosts, Denison Dyer.
I don't know about Denison Dyer. This is Merlin.
And Viper.
Yes, this is, as Tom just graciously introduced us, this is Cruising Through Cinema, the podcast where we watch every single Tom Cruise film in chronological order from start to finish, and, well, hopefully to finish. Hopefully it never finishes. Hopefully he lives forever. But we watch a movie every 2 weeks and we review it, and we are getting the bad taste out of our mouth from legend. And
are we ever?
And putting the creme de la creme, an amazing film.
So
certainly the classic, better than the sum of its parts.
We're coming to you live.
The 1986 Top Gun film.
Yeah, we're also coming to you live with butts in seats at the tower at Miramar, California.
I need butts. I need them now.
So here's my question.
I want butts.
Did you know?
But I mean, that's quite possibly the best scene in the entire movie. The coffee spill.
No.
That one lives rent free in my head. I can't tell you how many times I say, I want butts. I want them now.
Did you know that this movie was directed by Jerry Bruckheimer? I mean, was
produced.
Produced by Jerry Bruckheimer?
I did know that. Where, if you're not initiated, where may people know Jerry Bruckheimer?
Well, oh no, shit. I was thinking Michael Bay. Damn it. Fuck.
Jerry Bruckheimer is a very well-known producer.
Didn't he do Pirates of the Caribbean?
He's done everything. So let me give you a list here. Jerry Bruckheimer is a guy that loves to finance movies that are very well-known and do very well. Rest in peace. He's deceased, by the way.
Wait, he's dead?
Yeah. Jerry Bruckheimer.
When did that happen?
I think. Maybe he's not. Look that up.
I think he is.
Look that up. Is he around?
He's very much alive.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you, Jerry.
Sure, he was born in 1943. He's 80 years old, but so, still.
Movies he's made for Paramount Pictures, and by made, I mean produced.
Okay,
he's made
Beverly
Hills Cop,
okay,
Axel Foley, the movie that's not out yet, the reboot of Beverly Hills Cop, Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Days
yeah,
of Thunder. Sense. I'm just naming the ones people have definitely heard of. Beverly Hills Cop, Beverly Hills Cop 2, Top Gun, Days of Thunder, Flashdance.
He did
Walt Disney. He's done National Treasure. He's done Pearl Harbor. He's done
Coyote
Ugly, Rock,
Bad Boys,
Armageddon, Crimson Tide, The Reef.
He also did CSI. He did the entire CSI TV show.
He did do Pirates of the Caribbean. He also did do Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, the hamster movie G-Force, and The Lone Ranger.
Okay, we're not talking about Jerry Bruckheimer, though. This is Tom's...
No, but he's also done Bad Boys, Black Hawk Down, Bad Boys 2.
Wait, did you say Black Cock Down? I'm pretty sure you watched the wrong movie.
Black Hawk Down.
Okay.
Kangaroo Jack.
Oh, actually, it was... surprisingly good.
Yeah. So he's done. He's in 1982. He produced a movie called Cat People.
Okay. Enough of Jerry. Let's get back to the topic at hand.
He's also done a lot of CSI.
Okay.
He's a real tour de force.
I'm just gonna say right now that you've lost that love and feeling already, and I don't like it.
That love and feeling.
I will say,
this movie, without a doubt, launched Tom Cruise into the stratosphere.
Oh,
I don't know how you go from, I mean, the almost career-ending film of legend. If this
I
movie,
don't,
what already in the works? Oof.
Like we said last time on the legend episode, he had to be promised this movie. Like there had to be some sort of. Tony Scott, Ridley Scott said, hey, my brother's working on this movie. It's about fighter pilots. I think you're really going to like it. Actually, there's some trivia. So I was reading about this. Tom originally didn't want to do the movie. So Jerry said, hey, I'm going to send you out here to California. You're going to train with the Blue Angels, right? You're going to go on a ride with the Blue Angels. They took off. They were doing flips and stunts and pulled 5Gs and everything. As soon as they landed, Tom ran over to a payphone, picked up the phone, and told Jerry, I'm in. I'm
he just
fucking in.
Like a little... yes. Okay, so this is a very simple film, and I don't mean that demeaningly. It is the definition of popcorn movie.
Do you like at the beginning where it just said Indian Ocean?
Yes.
Like, it just didn't say anything else. It just said Indian Ocean.
And they're very very intentional. They never actually say who the MiGs are.
Well, it's got to be the Russians, right?
Well, I mean,
it's got to be the Soviets.
It could have been, but they never go out and say it because in 1986, that just the movie could have started World War III.
I mean, if we're not necessarily smart men sometimes, but we're smart enough to know the MiG pilots are wearing helmets with red stars in the middle of them.
Yeah.
We can assume.
They never actually say that. And fun fact, so Tom Cruise never runs in this film.
I was just thinking that last night.
He never runs in this film. And
I was just thinking that. I said, does he run in this movie? He runs in every single movie he's in.
We're going to say some things that maybe will imply that we don't love the movie. But that's
you may say that.
No, we may say that. But you may say that this film has some like cheesy dialogue. You may say the plot, which there isn't a whole lot, is somewhat predictable.
There is plot.
Some people are critical and say the flight sequences aren't realistic.
But they are.
The theme and goes along with the plot where it's like it's also simple and it's jingoistic, which means if you don't know, jingoistic means it's like basically like raber saddling, like rah-rah, being a little too militaristic and patriotic. You can say those things and you would be wrong. But the reason I say that is those are things I read researching this film of like critical, like reasons why people weren't necessarily in love with it. And a lot of people will say that the action's good. And I mean, the action is good. The flight choreography is fun. It's hard to look at this through the rearview mirror that includes Top Gun Maverick, which is
perfect.
Definitely a better film, but it's only a better film because of this film. They took a very loose plot of this film and built upon it into something amazing in Top Gun Maverick. Film's amazing, but in a smaller scale.
Did you know, and we're kind of jumping ahead, but in the scene in the bar where Charlie, Meg Ryan, Goose, and Maverick, and their Goose is singing Great Balls of Fire, that little boy grows up to be Miles Teller. Did you know that?
Yes, and also a fun fact, did you see what Goose gives his son in that scene?
Cowboy hat, right?
No.
Oh, it's his sunglasses.
No. Maybe it's not that scene, but there's a scene where he gives him an airplane. If you look closely, that airplane's actually a Transformer.
Really?
Starscream.
Starscream yeah.
is the one that turns into the airplane. Starscream's not a...
He's a Decepticon.
He's a Decepticon, yes. Sorry. Yeah. But yes, there's a Decepticon in the film.
Huh.
But yes, it's cool. This film is cool. It is awesome. It has got so much just like get your adrenaline pumping. The opening scene, the transition, the soundtrack.
Okay, first off, let's talk about the opening scene. They are on an aircraft carrier, right?
Does this not make you want to work on an aircraft carrier?
No, because I'd fall off and die.
They're having so much fun.
You think so, but...
The guy, like, crab walking when he's, like, straightening out the tow rope. Like, it's just, like...
Okay.
You just want to be on there launching aircrafts.
Dennis, you know your knees. You know my knees. You know your...
Oh, yeah, that guy has horrible knee trauma and is on disability because of this.
And you know you're back, so you wouldn't last 5 minutes on that. Anyway,
I could get in that position. I just couldn't ever get out of it.
So, It starts off with the Top Gun theme, right? The meow, 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 meow. And then, like, you think it's gonna keep going on.
Okay, sorry.
You think it's gonna keep going on, and then all of a sudden it hits you in the face, Kenny, goddamn motherfucking Loggins, hits you in the face with Danger Zone.
And here's the hot take of hot takes. I told you I had a hot take about the soundtrack today.
You did, yes.
Not the best song on the soundtrack.
Playing with the Boys, right, is the best
no.
song.
No,
I know it.
Mighty Wings is underappreciated.
There's a raging fire
in my heart tonight. Yeah, it's just amazing. But this is not meant to be a slight towards Danger Zone. It's just Danger Zone. Because it's the opening song after the anthem, which it's literally called the Top Gun anthem, because yes. Goddamn, that guitar riff is a motherfucking anthem.
I creamed my pants listening to that.
I mean, and if you listen to the soundtrack or the credits, that guitar riff just loops, and they just add a little extra flair each time to where by the end of it, you are just standing there like weeping because it just moves you.
Wait. Did you also have a boner? Because I did.
I may or may not have, and I'm going to say this. After the show, that I'm going to do some finagling, and that is going to be my new alarm in the morning.
That
waking up to that guitar riff?
That might scare the shit out of you.
Because you must respect it. But
I just imagine that, guitar riff going off.
There's like seven notes. And it just loops. And it gets better somehow every time you hear it.
That alarm's going to go off. Your alarm's going to go off tomorrow morning, and you're going to jump through the roof, and your wife's going to go, what? You're like, it's Top Gun!
And, and if you really want to go down a rabbit hole, there's like seven variations of it that are on the soundtrack for Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
And it's of just epic proportions.
Okay, real quick. We'll get to Top Gun Maverick in like 30 years, I feel. Best song on the Top Gun Maverick album. And I know my answer. And if you don't say it,
I haven't listened to that. It's Miles Teller singing Great Balls of Fire.
No, it's Hold My Hand by Lady Gaga.
I don't know if I mean, I'm sure I know it, but I'd have to hear it again.
Yeah, it's a banger. I mean, it is a straight banger.
Oh, I have to check it out again. I've only watched Top Gun Maverick once in the theater.
It's exactly the plot of A New Hope. If you think about it, it's the Battle of Yavin from A New Hope.
Yavin.
It's they got to fly through the trenches. They have to shoot a projectile down an exhaust pipe.
Yeah, you're right. But I don't fault it.
But one had Tom Cruise, the other one didn't.
Actor that played Goose.
Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards. He was quoted like because they were asked like, "Oh, are you disappointed you can't be in the movie because your character's dead?" He's like, "I'm not holding that. I'm still holding out hope because I'm hoping I get to appear as a ghost, as Ghost Goose," which also plays up on the Star Wars element.
It does.
Because there was a Force ghost.
Did Anthony Edwards just like make this movie and all of his hair fell out? Because I'm pretty sure he
became a doctor on ER. Remember?
I was gonna say, yeah, he goes on to be an ER, and he's bolder.
Isn't there an episode of ER? Way tangent. Isn't there an episode of ER where they have to deliver like an alien baby?
No.
I've heard that. I've never actually seen it, but I've heard there's an episode where they deliver an alien baby.
In my mind,
Goose has to save an alien baby.
All I know is ER had like if you were an up and coming actor, you were on ER. Anthony Edwards, George Clooney. Juliana Margulies, like everybody and their mom was on ER, and like it launched their careers.
Kind of like how Top Gun launched everybody's career that was in it.
I mean,
actually,
except that's not for Kelly like McGillis.
Yeah. Yeah, she was in some things, but not much.
Val Kilmer, this came out in 86. What else would have Val Kilmer been in?
When was Rocky IV?
He wasn't in Rocky IV.
I know, I'm kidding. I always get him confused with Ivan Drago.
No, don't put respect on Val Kilmer.
Let's see, Val Kilmer.
He was in The Doors and The Saint. Oh, The Saint came out in 97, so this was after it.
97? This was before it.
I mean, 11 years. Sorry, my bad.
Yes.
11 years after.
He was in The Saint, The Salt, yeah, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Top Secret in 1984. Yeah, that movie's great. Top Secret was his first movie? No way.
So did you know Tim Robbins also starred in another film in 1986? Do you care to guess what that was?
Shawshank Redemption.
No, that was definitely not 80. No, Shawshank Redemption came out the same year as Forrest Gump.
That was 94. Yeah, because
yeah, Forrest Gump won that award over that.
There's another podcast I listen to.
You can arguably make an argument that Shawshank Redemption is one of the best films of all time.
10 out of 10, 100%. I will sit down if it's on TV and watch it no matter where it is.
Yeah. Forrest Gump, fact, I'll watch it. I'll watch a scene that or two that I like.
You know, but Shawshank. The fact that there's another podcast I listen to, and one of the hosts brings this up every time. He goes, yeah, you know who won the Academy Award for the Best Picture in 1994? It wasn't fucking Shawshank. It was goddamn Forrest Gump when it should have been. He goes, there's no way Shawshank Redemption should lose to Forrest Gump.
And the Schindler's List was 94 too, wasn't it?
Sounds familiar. I think it was Schindler's List, yes. Forrest Gump, Shawshank Redemption.
And I think The Fugitive.
No, Schindler's List was 93.
No, but the Academy Awards would have been in 94.
Okay, so wait, hang on. Shawshank.
We're going down a tangent, and these are definitely not Top Gun.
Shawshank came out in 94, so that would have been the 95 Academy Awards, because it's always in February, I think. Okay.
Maybe I'm getting dates and awards mixed up, but still. They got robbed. Forrest Gump's still a great movie, but it's not that great.
So, yeah, the movie starts
Right? The movie I was referring to that Tim Robbins also starred in 1986 is Howard the Duck.
He's in Howard the Duck?
Are you kidding me? He's the main character that's not the duck.
No, he's not.
Yes.
No, he's not the bad guy.
Tim Robbins is not the bad guy.
He's in Howard the Duck?
He wasn't Howard. But no,
he's not in Howard. Oh, he is. Yes, God damn it.
He plays Phil. He's the guy that like helps Howard.
That's right. Huh. But color me wrong.
Yeah, Howard the Duck. Great film.
Howard
also,
the Duck.
Also a great soundtrack.
Actually, yeah, it is a great soundtrack.
Yeah, you're thinking that the bad guy in that film is Jeffrey Jones. Okay, we're going down. We're going way down. Buzz back up. Top Gun. Top Gun, great.
Yes. So the movie opens, right? You got Goose and Maverick up in the air with Cougar and who's his wingman? Who's his RIO?
Merlin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Cougar and Merlin and then Goose and Maverick, or Maverick and Goose. They essentially engage with two MiGs. Cougar gets spooked, right, and can't make it back.
They lock on to Cougar and he gets freaked.
He essentially gets the yips, right? He gets his own head, and he can't make it back, right? Maverick, they're landed at this point. He punches it. He's got the ball. He punches it and he saves Cougar, essentially. He gets him back to the ship and everything. So here's my question. I thought about this and every scene I watched. Is it just hot as fucking hell in that aircraft carrier at all times?
Everyone is sweating.
It
is a very sweaty film.
So, even like... Maverick's riding around on a motorcycle with Kelly McGillis, and he's wearing like a big, thick leather jacket. But yeah,
with
somehow
a fur, with a fur lined neck. Yeah,
he's sweating.
Yes, like you don't care if you're in Myanmar. You don't care because you are.
Well, it's California, so it can't be that hot because it's on the coast. So I'm thinking like it gets cool at nighttime, but hot during the day, like. You know, not like here in the Midwest where in the summertime it's hot all the time.
Yeah, it's a low humidity heat.
And it doesn't help when the commanding officer is smoking chain smoke cigars in an enclosed space either.
There's no way that's allowed below deck on an aircraft carrier.
No,
like
no
one's breathing.
Not.
No one's breathing on
there. No, and like you're probably pretty close to fuel at that point.
Which,
like,
do you know the significance of that actor or what else he's in?
No, what else is he in?
He is the principal in Back to the Future.
Oh, that's right. He is, isn't he?
Because I'm like, I gotta look this up. He looks too familiar.
Is he smoking cigars in that movie?
It's been a while since I've watched Back to the Future. I'm sure he smokes because they're in the, you know, they're in an era where people smoked.
The 60s?
Duke Stroud, or Air Boss Johnson was his character.
Air Boss Johnson.
Which, did you know? Okay, so there's an infamous, the Nintendo game. Is infamous, but there is a PS2 era game. I forget the name of it. It's PS1. It's a Top Gun PS1 game, and there's like full motion video. And in the full motion video, the only character from the film that is actually in the video game is Air Boss Johnson, and he's basically the guy giving you your missions.
Yeah, I feel like they couldn't get anyone else.
No, they could have maybe got Clarence Gilliard, a.k.a. Sundown.
Sundown, yeah, I was going to say.
Sundown maybe is your wingman in the game, I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's just funny. Back to the soundtracks. The one thing of this film that epitomizes the feeling you get when you listen to the soundtrack is when Tom Cruise, because he gets told he's going to Top Gun.
Right. Well, this is after because Air Boss essentially rips him a new one for disobeying a direct order.
And I got to send somebody to Top Gun.
And Cougar drops out, right? He gets spooked. He turns in his wings. And, like, it's kind of a backhand.
Too tight.
It's kind of a back
too tight.
Which is. Okay, here's my grief with
Hold
Cougar.
Hold on loosely.
Here's my grief with Cougar. He said, I have a wife and a son, and I've never met him. No. I almost orphaned him tonight.
No, he says them. He misspoke. I play it back like 3 times. He says, I've never met them.
Which is stupid, because obviously, and then he goes, I almost orphaned them. Bullshit, that's not how the fucking orphans work, you idiot.
Right, it made no sense at all.
I hope he didn't get another acting gig his entire life for that.
Yeah,
pickup.
He clearly just like messed up the whole line. because he also has a picture of them in his cockpit.
Right. So how, if he's never met them, one, how did he have the baby? Two,
was this some weird night in a glory hole in Vegas where he got married?
Like, did he knock her up that night? And, like, she's like, oh, by the way, I mail you this picture somewhere in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, But anyway, Tom Cruise and Goose get to go to Top Gun in their stead because...
It's kind of a backhanded compliment. He's right. He's like, hey, Cougar was number one. Now you guys are number one. You guys are two. You're taking Cougar's spot. And then... I texted you last night when I was watching it. My only goal in life is to be as cocky and as fucking confident as Maverick in this movie for the rest of my life.
But it's funny because they try to make Val Kilmer and Iceman the villain.
He's not even Iceman. Did you know that?
They just call him Ice.
Yeah, and even in the closing credits, like it says Val Kilmer, Ice.
I think at one point, Goose calls him the Iceman. I think, but they most of the time they're referring to him as Ice.
Which is almost like a Mandela effect type thing.
I know, but the it's interesting. So Yeah, with the exception of what happens to Goose, which is definitely Ice's fault, because he's a little too... He doesn't want to, like, not basically get killed during the drill.
So it's his fault that he gets... That Maverick gets in the jet wash and goes into a spin?
Yeah, you didn't catch that? Because he's like, come on, I've got the shot. You don't have the shot. He's like, just give me 10 more seconds. And he's like, give me five more seconds.
That's
and then
right.
he pulls okay. out. He pulls out too when they're too close.
That's right.
And causes the jet wash that results in the ejecting, the canopy not ejecting properly.
Did you catch what Maverick said too? He's like, watch the canopy. And like, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, which I small critique the sequencing of the shot and how they show that. Like, they show it breaking free, and then all of a sudden he's ejecting and it's right above him again. Like, it was edited kind of not great.
Well, from my understanding, when you eject, like, the thing does go up because it's, you know... Well, Maverick couldn't... I think it was something because Maverick couldn't reach the ejector. So, like, from my understanding, jets have two, right? It's kind of like a parachute, right? You have two ejectors, right? The pilot's got the one that he pulls, and then you have the backup one, which is behind the pilot, which is... Okay, I'm kind of going all over the place here, but
there's so many things I want to say. But
it would have to suck to be a radar intercept officer, because you're just sitting in the back. You can't control anything. You're just looking at the fuel and you're looking at people. Like, you can't shoot anything.
Right.
You don't do anything. You just sit in the back and like. And you know it's got to be hot as hell in those jets.
Well, okay, so that goes back to the opening scene when Merlin is basically just left there because Cougar's, like, freaking out. And he's like, we got a problem back here, like, freaking
Merlin,
out.
Merlin can't take over the controls.
You're doomed. Why would they not have, like, a auxiliary controls where you can at least attempt to land from the back?
Because what happens if
you, like, have a heart attack?
I think they do now. I think like jets nowadays.
Or do you just eject? Because you're basically just the F-14 Tomcat's R2-D2. Like, you're pretty much worthless.
Right. Whee!
You're basically R2-D2 back there.
Okay, so here's my thing. Ethical question. If your pilot shook, right, and he can't, let's say you're low on fuel and you're not going to make it back to the aircraft carrier. Do you just go ahead and eject? Do you save both of you and eject?
I mean, I don't think that's an ethical question. I think you just eject.
But as Airboss says to
that's $39 of the taxpayers' money, which nowadays is probably like $200 million.
No, it's like a billion. Those jets are like billions of dollars.
Yeah.
He's like, when it comes down to it. You know, I've got some continuity. I think I have some continuity issues with Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick now that I think about it, but I'll get there later.
No. If you start questioning something, like I said, it's very, the film's flimsy.
No. Okay.
But so the ride it takes you on makes it steady
so
as a rock.
I would eject, right? I would eject. And then, like, obviously, so the scene where Goose dies. They eject, they land in the water, and the Coast Guard's there in, like, 3 seconds. Like, did they see that the Coast Guard just, like, was flying the helicopter? It's like, oh, by the way, we just saw this. Actually, Airboss had probably radioed the Coast Guard already, right? Here's my thinking. He radios them and says, hey, we've got a jet going
down. Well, they probably know,
like,
they're on a training mission. They're doing training missions, so they
probably the Coast Guard
are on standby.
If you go into any branch of the armed forces or any branch, it has to be the Coast Guard, right? Because you don't do anything.
I think you're a Navy man. I'd be a Navy man.
Of course you would be, you homo.
I mean, get me in a submarine.
I don't feel like you would last.
I want to be a chef on a sub. That would be a fun gig.
You'd be a chef?
Oh, yeah. Why not?
I'd be the guy that says fire their torpedoes. Because
you know everyone's loving the chef. You're getting like... People are slipping you whatever to, like, you know, give me a little extra sizzle on that bacon.
Until you run out of food.
That sounds terrible. Give me an extra sizzle on that bacon. That sounds like a very bad euphemism.
I don't feel like I could live in a sub just because the living quarters, unless you're like a captain, right, or like a commanding officer.
Yeah, that's true, because you have no privacy ever.
They would stalk.
Unless you're an officer, then you have like basically a cot-sized room.
You have
with a mirror.
Have you ever been on a cruise ship?
No.
Okay, so I've been on a cruise ship, and
I've been on a World War II submarine.
The rooms in a cruise ship are tiny to begin with. Yeah. So they're. Unless you're like, because we didn't stay up top, right? We stayed with the plebes down on the lower level.
In the Lido deck.
But the, whoa, Lido, whoa, that's a little boss gax for you. so my understanding would be the commanding officer on a submarine would be even smaller than that, probably.
Yeah, based on being on a World War II submarine.
I bet you have a nice bed, though, as compared to a cot.
Well, they have like a, it's still like a cot, but it's like a thin layer of a padded leather mattress. So you got a little bit more than just like the, basically nylon straps with a pillow on top.
Right. If commanding officer on a sub, I'm like, bring a king size mattress in here. Sir, that won't fit. Cut it into quarters. And bring it in, and we'll reassemble it.
Right. Okay. Going back to what I was trying to say a little bit ago. One of my favorite scenes is when Pete Maverick Mitchell, is going to the. He's arriving at Myanmar at Top Gun for the first time, and playing a plane Myanmar. There's a plane taking off. He is on his now iconic motorcycle and does like a fist pump as it's taken off. That feeling you can feel when he's doing that. It resonates. And that is the feeling you get when you listen to Danger the soundtrack.
Zone. Oh, yes.
Danger Zone or the or Top Mighty Gun Wings. Anthem.
Mighty
or
Wings.
Mighty Wings. Or Playing with the Boys.
Okay. So there's two songs that sound very similar on that soundtrack, Mighty Wings and Into the Fire.
Yes.
Which the first time I heard Into the Fire, I went, this is Mighty Wings, but it wasn't.
And I also texted you that there is a song by the artist, the group Ghost, that I am 90% sure is the exact same guitar riff from Mighty Wings.
There's a raging fire in my heart tonight. Hey, do you know Meg Ryan and Anthony Edwards became an item after filming concluded?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
She would go on to be in such films such as You've Got Mail.
She's also dated John Mellencamp for a forever long time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
She was also in Sleepless in Seattle and City of Angels and When Harry Met Sally.
So pretty much any rom-com ever.
Yes, it's very stereotypical. And she's probably filming a Lifetime Christmas movie as we speak.
With Keanu Reeves and Tom Cruise.
I would see that.
I would too, honestly.
But anyway.
Yes, so... Yeah, Top Gun.
Top Gun, great. Kelly McGinnis, McGillis.
Did not age well.
Did not age. I mean, whatever. She didn't go. Whatever. It's fine. She aged normally.
Oh yeah. Are we comparing? We're comparing her to Tom Cruise, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Cruise somehow looks. He's gonna like look 52 for the rest of his life.
Well, he was showing his age a little bit in Top Gun Maverick. I think.
Yeah, and hair. I will say so. One of the things we like to talk about in this podcast, unibrow watch.
He had a little bit of a unibrow.
Yeah, but not definitely. Not I think in Legend, they just told him to let it grow out because he was a woodland boy.
You know the one thing that always bothers me about Tom Cruise?
Center tooth.
Yeah, his center tooth.
I mean, whatever. He's got his thing. This is a Cruising Through Cinema podcast, so we need to talk about his acting in this. His best acting he's done to date through the first eight films we've watched.
Watched eight films already?
I think this is number eight. Or is this number seven? No, this is number eight.
It is number eight, yeah.
This is the best acting he's done, and he, you get the patented smile. I will say you get a little bit of, I think before this, what would you say is best, the next best is? Like, before this, what would you say was the best acting he did?
Risky Business.
I would agree. And you kind of got some of that charisma in that, too. But he's also playing kind of a bashful high school kid.
Yeah.
So I think he did really well. But you get the charisma, you're going to get the rest of his career in this. Just like,
yes,
a 12 out of 10. Charisma.
Are we to believe that Duke Mitchell, his dad, died? Is that right?
Yeah, basically, the military told him and his mom that it was an accident. But what you find out from Tom Skerritt, aka Viper, later is that there was basically a battle that happened that was over borders that the government shouldn't have been acting in. So right. They had to basically lie about it to the family.
You know, I watched the majority of this last night and finished it tonight. There's a lot more scenes that I like. If you ask me 2 years ago what Top Gun was, Goose dies, they involve with the MiGs, at the end he says, "You can be my wingman anytime," bullshit, "You can be mine." You know, the scene with Kelly McGillis laying her down with "Take My Breath Away" by Berlin.
Okay, can we talk about that scene?
Yes.
The tongueiest makeout session I've ever seen.
They
were using tongues in a way I didn't know you could use. Like, they and it wasn't even licking. It was like,
I'm not a prude.
I felt like I was watching a scene from an Aliens movie.
I'm not a prude by any means. Like, let's be honest. But
I felt embarrassed. That. Yes.
Like, I thought about pulling my blinds in my house so the neighbors didn't see.
Yeah, it was interesting. Also in this film, which we haven't talked about, Michael Ironside, who I think he's probably known almost as well for his role as Sam Fisher in the Splinter Cell games as he is in his acting roles. He does the voice acting of Sam Fisher in the Splinter Cell series of video games. But he's also in like Starship Troopers and other stuff.
Yes. Talk amongst yourself. I'm gotta go talk to Goose about something.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So it's interesting that we get that love story, because the love story is kind of, I don't want to say it's shoehorned in. That's just part of the through plot. That doesn't really develop to anything, which is one of the major critiques of this film from a pure cinematic angle. You've got the dynamic of Maverick and Goose, and Maverick wants to avenge his death, and he does in the end. And the love dynamic doesn't really serve a purpose to the plot, unless I'm not remembering something. But I don't know what that would be. So I want to say this film lacks solid plot. Once again, what I started off the podcast by saying, the sum of this film's parts far exceeds what we get on an individual basis. So yes, you can be very critical of some aspects of the film, but you get such a fun adventure with amazing scoring, amazing cinematography, amazing sound work, amazing acting, with not much of a plot. But hey, the good guys win in the end. And it sets up one of my favorite films of all time, and the best film I have seen in a theater in the last 15 years. And I'd be hard pressed to tell you what I've had more fun watching than Top Gun Maverick. So that is interesting.
Top Gun Maverick was amazing.
Yes. I'm sorry. Did you Did you help your wingman?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I was going on about how this film does lack the love story element that we were talking about with Terry McGillis. It's fun. It's interesting. I don't know what it does in service of the plot other than give Tom something to do. When was there a purpose for that love story to be in here? Obviously it's fun, and the film is greater than the sum of its parts. Like, it is a fun ride, and I kind of want to watch it again tonight. That's how much I love this film.
I do too, honestly.
The cinematography is amazing. The sound work's amazing. The music's amazing. The acting's amazing. The plot, yeah. And I don't want to say the writing, because the writing's good. It's just there's not much plot. Or it's very thin. There's not a lot to really sink your teeth on. I mean, you care about the characters. The writing's good. But not much.
Right.
What would you say happens? And like, just kind of give a quick synopsis of the plot.
Hotshot pilot goes to the best school, beds a civilian liaison, wingman dies, he gets the yips, saves the day.
Correct. That's basically it. We've touched upon it, but we need to discuss the infamous playing with the boy scene that everyone likes to talk about. Why jeans? Why blue jeans? Why would you be wearing blue jeans?
He was going to dinner with Kelly McGillis, and I'm sure he didn't want to wear his tidy whities because it's proven.
I feel like
later
there's
on.
A deleted scene. I feel like there's deleted scenes that I really want to watch because he keeps checking his watch during that scene.
Yeah,
like, there was some dialogue that she was like, "You better not be late."
Well, I mean, that's implied because she writes it on that paper. She said, 5:30 sharp, don't be late.
Yeah. So he keeps constantly checking his watch.
Right. So
why the wrist tape? How serious is the Top Gun Academy intramural volleyball league?
What would you rather play? The volleyball or the blitz ball that they invented in Top Gun Maverick?
Dogfight football?
Yeah, the dogfight football.
I would much rather play beach volleyball because dogfight football looks like giant injury warning. There's too many bodies going the same way, the same different directions at the same time.
You're playing offensive defense at the same time.
There's too many over under 3.5 ACLs during a semester at the Top Gun Academy playing dogfight football.
I'm going 4 because you're playing. Not only are you playing it, you're playing it in the sand and ocean.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and if you've ever tried to go running on the beach, it's an unpleasant experience.
Why would I run on the beach? Do I look like Rocky?
I mean, I've done it, and it's in your mind. It's like you think of Rocky. You think, yeah, that's awesome. No, you get no traction. You go incredibly slow. You're working 3 times as hard. It's like running up a mountain. It's miserable. 1 star, would not recommend.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
But yes, beach volleyball is a much more pleasant game than dogfight football. But the I love that scene just because you get the random posing for no reason.
Right.
You get the random posing for no reason, which for some reason makes me think of Street Fighter. Like, the posing makes me think of the video game Street Fighter 2. I don't know what it is. I don't know if maybe I think Val Kilmer looks like Guile. I don't know.
He does look like Guile.
But there, you know what I'm talking about? Like, where he just like poses and flexes?
Yeah.
And they all have wrist tape. Does wrist tape, is that something you use during volleyball?
It must be if you're that.
Wouldn't you want some kind of flexion though in your wrists?
I mean, have you ever hit like a really good inflated volleyball?
Yeah, they're light.
It hurts.
But they should have strong wrists. Their wrists on around in a cockpit all day.
Listen.
I have so many questions. What happened before this volleyball game? Why were their wrists sore? Am I asking too many questions?
I think you are.
Yeah. And then he realizes, oh crap, I'm late. I gotta leave. But bitch move to leave for the girl that you just started dating when the series is tied 1-1.
Right?
That's not how you treat your wingman or your cockpit, buddy.
I guess we should have known that he was going to leave his wingman behind because he leaves him behind to go.
Oh my God. Oh my God. This film's deeper than we thought.
What movie is it with Quentin Tarantino? And he goes, you know what? Top Gun, gay movie. He goes, the beach volleyball scene.
Isn't that, what film is that? Is it Pulp Fiction?
Maybe.
Is that something that Samuel L. Jackson says in Pulp Fiction?
No, it's definitely Quentin Tarantino. Anyway,
it's 1-1. Volleyball games don't like a single game only takes like 10 minutes. So he just played for like 20 minutes and just left everybody hanging with the man down.
Yeah.
And you can't play 2-on-1. Yeah. So Goose should have been pissed is what I'm getting at here. One other thing I wanted to talk about, and it seems like we're kind of wrapping up here. I mean, this isn't a film where we need to talk about it in chronological order. It's, if you haven't seen it, stop right now. It's too late. You need to go watch it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I freaking love the mission instructions they get before each lesson. Like when, who is it Tom Skerritt's character that comes on the radio? Or is it Jester? It's Jester that's like, on today's mission will be blah, 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 blah. The flight ceiling, the deck, the hard deck is 10,000 feet. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like the dialogue. It's so awesome.
You know what really butters my biscuit?
Women.
Well, yes, but the whole hard deck thing, like, is the hard deck like set up to be like, hey, the jets are going to, like, if you get this low, you'll crash? Like, why?
No, I think it's how they're simulating, like, if they're flying like in a mountainous region. Top Gun Maverick does a much better job articulating that.
Yeah, you're right.
Because that's what they're doing. So I really think that's what the hard deck's for. But I am not a Navy aviator or naval aviator a pilot. So
I want to say a couple more things about the ending, right? It's so younger me. If you ask me, younger me would say Top Gun ended on the aircraft carrier, right? Movie's over at that point. Where he goes, you can be my wingman.
No, there's like three endings to this.
Right. And then Maverick throws Goose's dog tags overboard. And then he goes to talk to Airboss. And Airboss goes, what do you want to do? He's like, I'm going to go be an instructor. He goes, oh, God help us. And then he goes to the bar and meets Charlie. So, yes. I guess there was a lot more ending than I thought when I was younger.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, this film is, like, the plot is there, but that's not why you watch Top Gun. You watch it for the feeling it gives you.
Oh, absolutely.
It just is that rah-rah, and not in, like, a USA type of way. Just rah-rah in a, yeah, this is just a badass film. It makes you feel like a badass when you watch it.
Yep, absolutely.
And it's happy. There's nothing, I mean, yes, Goose dies, but it's just fun. It's just a fun, fun film. I don't have anything else to say specifically, do you?
I do not.
I think Tom, did you have something you wanted to tell us to do? Are we forgetting to do something?
Guys, rank my movies, please.
Oh, yes. This is the point of the show where we rank the films.
Okay.
I think we're in agreement. Top Gun is the new number 3.
No.
No, definitely number one.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Top Gun.
Sorry, Risky Business, you're great, but you're not that great.
Top Gun, Risky Business. Oh, God. Remind me of the rankings again.
The rankings are as such. We've got now the new number one is Top Gun.
Yes.
Number two Risky is Business. Is Risky Business.
Yeah.
Then we've got Losing It. Huge that's upset right. in my mind. I think that's going to be up higher than we think.
Really?
Losing It. Then we've got All the Right Moves.
Yeah.
Taps. Outsiders.
And then Legend.
Endless Love.
Oh, Endless
and then
Love.
Legend.
And then Legend. Yeah. Yeah. God, Legend was so bad.
So bad. Just an awful film.
Oh, awful. So terrible.
Yeah. Like, not. I was disappointed watching that film. It was just like, this is it? Like, how do you go from this to Top Gun?
I don't know.
And the directors are brothers. How awkward was the next Thanksgiving after Top Gun came out? Like, it's just bad. It's just a bad film. That
it's just
Legend.
A bad, bad hat, Harry.
Yeah, so what do we got next week?
I believe it's Far and Away, isn't it?
Is it Far and Away? Let's look. Let's go to the Wikipedia page, because those of you who don't know...
Oh, no, sorry. Sorry, it's The Color of Money.
The Color of Money. Yes, we get Vincent.
Which ties into our theory about...
Which is our theory that Vincent becomes Vincent.
From The Color of Money is the Vincent in Collateral.
Yes.
Yes.
Collateral, also great. At least the last time I watched it, it was great. But if you like the show, you should leave us a review. And some of you did. Some of you did.
Yeah,
but if you don't know, on your favorite podcast app, leave a review. Or if you leave it on Apple Podcasts, it's much easier for me to look up the reviews in a timely fashion and read them, which we will. Or I believe if you're listening on Spotify, there is a way for you to leave a voicemail, which we would play on the show. So keep that in mind. But I want to give a shout out to the one, the only... I swear they're easy to pull up. Yes, right here. We have Makes Plays, is the username. Makes Plays said, finally something I can listen to while working. Thank you.
Thanks, mate. Makes Plays. Thanks, Makes Plays.
Yeah. You think he named it Makes Plays? Maybe he listened to the All the Right Moves?
Maybe.
I believe on Apple, when you leave your review on a show, it's like, what do you want to be called? Because right now... we have reviews by a guy named Johnny Million, Makes Plays, Jimbo the Shrimp, Corey Jackwagon, Stevie Stew, and we have a 1-star review by someone by the name of, this is from 2 years ago from when this was a show.
WandaVision.
Yeah, it was about WandaVision on this feed, but it was Nuh-uh 000.
Yeah,
Nuh-uh 000 gave us a 1-star. So don't be like him.
Doesn't Tom have something to say?
Tom, what do you think about people that leave 1-star reviews, or what should they do?
Give this show a 5-star review today.
Yeah,
well,
I agree.
You heard Tom. You heard Tom. You need to give us a 5-star review.
Yeah. So yeah,
you know what?
Do that.
I'll tell you what. You give us a 5-star review if you feel so inclined. We'll see if we can talk Tom into giving you a shout out.
I bet we could make that happen.
I mean,
that'd be quick. It'd be a quick one. His time is like money, and he's very limited with what he will.
Let's put it this way. We are so far in debt for what he's said to us so far that we are going to be doing this podcast for the next 85 years.
Yeah. So once again, Tom, what should they do?
Give this show a 5-star review today.
And God, yes, please help us get some sponsors.
We just have to cut a check for $2 million to them.
Give this show a 5-star review today.
He did.
Oh, God, he's got us by.
Give this show a 5-star review today.
Tom, we did.
Give this show a 5-star review today.
Okay,
Tom,
we
did.
We did. Okay, Tom, I think we got a bad connection. This has been Cruising Through Cinema. Next episode once again is The Color of money. You can be my wingman any day.
Bullshit, you can be mine.